Welcome to Drunk Guys Book Club, where books aren't just for school, where book clubs aren't just for women, and where pumpkin beer makes everything better.
I'm Mike.
I'm Nate.
And we're the Drunk Guys. And this week we are reading, in celebration of Halloween, Washington Irving's This Legend of Sleepy Hollow. And drinking our fucking faces off with pumpkin beer.
Yeah, this is going to be a little bit of a special episode, because instead of just one or two beers to sample, we have a smorgasbord. What's the Dutch word for that? I don't know. We have a we have a plethora of pumpkin beers to drink. How many is this?
7 different pumpkin beers.
Oh boy. Oh god.
That is, quite frankly, 7 too many, because yeah. I'm not really a fan of pumpkin beer. But it's Halloween.
You know what? We're gonna try them out for you and tell you which ones are good. All right, let's start with
we
one.
We gotta
now.
Start. I'm gonna start with one that I think I have low hopes for. No offense, Blue Moon. But this is Blue Moon Harvest Pumpkin Wheat. I bet it's gonna blow. But let's find out. Here you go. I'm gonna pour a little bit. We might not live through today.
No.
You might find us riding on a horse with no head eventually. As our spirits search for the bastard who made us drink these beers.
Right, that was Mike's idea, by the way.
I couldn't pick one. Well, that tastes...
Is this a sour beer? Or did it just go bad?
It's pronounced bad. It's pronounced shitty.
It's a shitty beer.
It's fine. It tastes like... You know what? I used to think I knew what a pumpkin tastes like. And then after drinking God knows how many pumpkin beers, I no longer know what pumpkin tastes like. I think pumpkin tastes like pumpkin beer now, probably because I'm an alcoholic. But the pumpkin beers taste like spices.
Yeah, it just tastes kind of like nutmeg.
It's nutmeg, cinnamon, clove, beer. Mm-hmm. And there's some pumpkin in there somewhere. I mean, this is fine. For a pumpkin beer, I have low stakes.
I've had worse.
It's okay. I like it better than fucking Blue Moon.
Yeah.
This Blue Moon is just awful.
Doesn't have any flavor.
This is okay. Is this made by like Coors or somebody? Somebody makes this.
One of the big companies.
Yeah. Ale brewed with pumpkin and spices.
I'll Google it.
The Blue Moon Brewing Company? I don't know. It's an okay beer. I mean, you really do get the spice taste.
Coors Brewing Company. Yep.
Suck a bag, Coors.
Brewed at the Coors Field, Denver, Colorado, owned by the Molson Coors Brewing Company.
Molson and Coors, what an unholy marriage.
Oh, it's also Blue Moon brewed at the Molson Brewery in Montreal, Quebec. So it's Canadian. It's an import. Oh my god.
Well, maybe. Depends on where you get it from, right? It has to say on here where it's made. It doesn't say on the side. It says Golden, Colorado. Oh, it's more local and less good than hopefully the other 6 beers. Why do we pick this book?
Because it's Halloween.
Fuck yes it is. And for whatever reason, The Legend of Sleepy Hollow, at least in my mind, I don't know about you, is a Halloween story.
It is the ultimate Halloween story.
So it tells the story, if you don't know it, who the fuck are you, of Ichabod Crane, a weird, gangly school teacher from New York, upstate New York.
Upstate,
right?
New York, in the little town of Sleepy Hollow, along the Hudson.
Back in the late 18th century.
Yeah.
Who runs afoul of the Headless Horseman. In this town where there's, you know, it's 200 plus years ago, there's not much going on. The Headless Horseman is a spirit that people see all the time. Not just on Halloween.
Yeah.
Important distinction. Year. So what happens to Ichabod? What else happens to him? It's not. Right, there's a little more to it than that,
there's
actually.
There's more to that. So here's what's something funny about the story, is it's only a little bit about the Headless Horseman. Really, it's about Ichabod Crane, the school teacher. So he's a school teacher in a one-room schoolhouse in this town in upstate New York in the late 1700s. And, you know, he has to do a bunch of things. Like, he doesn't have his own home. He sort of boards for a week at a time at different families, and he helps with the chores around their house, their houses, and their farms, while he also teaches school during the day. He has almost no possessions to his name. He owns, like, one pair of underwear and one book called The History of Witchcraft by Cotton Mather.
Right.
So he's definitely into scary stories, and he truly believes very much in these stories of witches.
Which, if you've read anything about the Salem witch trials, Cotton Mather is one of the people who was alive at that time and wrote about it. I've been, for a very long time, reading Stacey Schiff's book, The Witches, about the Salem witch trials, because it's kind of dry. Super fascinating, but just like, I can't take all that at once. Cotton Mather is a main character in this supernatural, fixated world. Now, Washington Irving's living 120 years later, writing 120 years later, Ichabod Crane is fascinated with this. That's the one book he has. That's like an Easter egg almost.
Yeah, a little bit. So anyway, he's a young guy. He's, of course, which means he's interested in the ladies. And there's this one young woman in the town that he's definitely interested in. She's the daughter of sort of the wealthiest farmer in the town. And her name is Katrina Van Tassel. Now, he's not athletic. He's not, you know, he's not good looking. He's not athletic, but what he can do is sing. So he can teach how to sing. So he goes around. He's kind of popular because, as it says in the book, at the time, being the schoolmaster meant you were a little bit more sophisticated. You knew a little bit more worldly, more sophisticated, more knowledgeable than just sort of the country bumpkin farmers, you know, also living in a tiny little town in the middle of nowhere. So he goes around and he gives singing lessons and he's got his eye on this young woman. However, other young men in the town also have their eye on the same young woman, on Katrina Van Tassel. And so there's a little bit of a rivalry going on.
Well, you know what? There's a little bit of rivalry right here on our table because we have to drink a lot more beers. We're going to pause right there for another beer. This one, a little close to home. This is from New Hampshire, Nate. This is Smutty Nose, appropriately named Pumpkin Ale.
Pumpkin Ale. Well, no subtlety with that one.
Oh God. I'm looking at the label. I don't see any information about ABV or bitterness or any of that other deep data they really like to just hit beer drinkers with. Don't see an alcohol content on here, but we've been drinking, so it could be there. We could look it up. Doesn't really matter. What do you think?
This is a light, definitely sort of a very light tasting beer. I guess I can taste a little bit of pumpkin. It's just not super strong.
Definitely lower alcohol. I like this better than the Blue Moon. We should rank these three. Right now, Blue Moon is in second. It's two. Pumpkin's first. Pumpkin is leading by a nose. And it's okay. Frankly, I don't love either of them. Mm-hmm. But they do, because I have been drinking beer for some years now, they do taste like fall to me. You know, both of them taste like fall. Mm-hmm. Somehow, pumpkin has become the beer ingredient for the fall seasonal. You know, like the summer beers are always light, crisp, fucking whatever beers, you know, golden things that are 4% alcohol that you can just drink them in the beach, drink them in the backyard while you're mowing the lawn. The winter beers are the stouts, the heavy-duty things that put hair on your mother's balls. And then the spring beers are the light, crisp things that also come back that are kind of maybe cloudy or white or different. You know, think about, you know, the new year to come. Fall is pumpkin. So what are we recording it now for the fall. We're recording for the Halloween episode. We're balls deep in fall. And brewers are too.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
I don't love it. It's okay. It's okay though. It's not saying
in first out of two right now.
So Ichabod Crane, nerdy dude. It really makes you realize how shitty the life of a teacher was.
Yeah.
In the whatever years we're talking about, he does not have a home. He's paid by the citizens' tax money.
Yeah, which is very little.
But he's not even really paid cash. He's paid in kind. Mm-hmm. Right? He gets paid by getting to live in people's houses on a rotating basis. And they put him to work to cover part of his board.
His only joy is how much he gets to beat his students when he doesn't like them. Okay. There's a whole part in the beginning where he talks about the birch. Using the birch on his students. And, you know, in his, you know, the phrase, spare the rod, spoil the child.
He never
spoiled. He says, no children were spoiled in his schoolhouse.
See, he's a bastard. Probably not a great teacher.
Probably not, you know.
But though, in those times, you really didn't need to know how to read.
If you knew how to spell, then you were ahead of most people.
make your mark. So he's a shit teacher. He's into, he wants to get into Katrina in many different ways, and he has a rival. His rival is the complete antithesis of Ichabod Crane. He's a big, burly, sporty guy named Brom Bones.
He's the frat boy of the area.
He really is, yes.
if they had fraternities back then. He's the frat boy, and he is also, you know, he's the jock. He is also interested in Katrina Van Tassel, not only because she's good looking, but she's also the daughter of the, you know, wealthiest farmer in the town. So everyone's interested in her.
They didn't have frats back then, like Skull and Bones or something like that. They didn't have
that show. Okay, maybe at Harvard, which is not, you know, they actually probably did have that at Harvard at the time. But you know, because Harvard goes way back. But you know, it's not the same system as today. It's not the same culture. You know, they didn't have football yet. So
back then you got hazed, you had to actually fuck a sheep. Now you just drink yourself maybe to death. Things were a lot more rustic. So Brom Bones is the rival, and he is, you know, Ichabod Crane is tall and gangly and kind of goofy looking.
And a nerd.
And a total dweeb, yeah. Brom Bones, also big, muscular, hulking dude who is athletic and could ride horses well and do all sorts of other fucking shit. They're both going after the same woman, who is clearly aware of this.
Yeah.
She knows, and there's nothing else for her to do at this time, so I guess she just is interested in seeing what she can get out of these gentlemen.
Just courting men and picking them, one. So also in this town, there is this legend or story told among all the different people about the Headless Horseman. According to their stories, the Headless Horseman is a Hessian soldier who was killed in the Revolutionary War, and he lost his head. So that's how he died in whatever battle it was. And he's buried there in the churchyard in the town of Sleepy Hollow. And that, according to their legend, he comes out every night and he rides his horse around the town or through the woods, through the trails, looking for his head. And this is a story that all the people in the town have been telling each other for years.
It can't be that many years, though. So the publication of this story, it's part of a collection that Washington Irving put out when he was like 30 years old. He was pretty young still. He had most of his life ahead of him. Called The Sketchbook of Geoffrey Crayon, a Gentleman. And it came out in like 1819.
Mm-hmm.
That's not terribly long after the Revolutionary War.
No.
When the Hessians would have been working as mercenaries in the colonies.
Well, lifetimes were shorter back then. So, you know, being 30 years after the end of the Revolution, that was a long time.
And you do get the sense that this is beyond the lifetime of Ichabod Crane and Katrina and Brom. Like, they are younger people, which is interesting, right? They're, like, getting ready to become grown-ups and getting married and all that kind of shit. But they're, like, maybe 20.
Yeah.
Maybe. Katrina might be younger. She might be 16. It is from a different time. That's mm-hmm. fair. Speaking of a different time, it's time for a different beer.
Different beer.
Oh my god, I'm gonna die. This is from a little closer to home. This is from Blue Point Brewery in Blue Point Brewing Company, which is in Long Island. It's called Mother Pumpkin Ale. You got your cup here?
You Mother Pumpkin.
Okay, Mother yeah. Pumpkin. It is only 5.9% alcohol.
So this is low for us.
Yeah, shit, we've done some big ones. I cannot wait until we do something about the All Quiet on the Western Front.
Oh, okay.
Or something about the Germans. I have a special beer for that.
We'll have to do that one soon. So this beer smells really strong, like really strong spices, to me at least.
It's getting nutmegged in the face here. That's what's happening. Like it's its birthday. All over me. Neck, chest, and tits just covered in it. Delicious. It tastes like if a person who only ate pumpkins designed ginger ale. I know exactly what you're talking about. Here it is. It tastes fine to me.
Mm.
But it's not... What the fuck does a pumpkin taste like? I don't know. I guess I need to just eat some raw pumpkin at this point.
Just to see. All right, so what's your ranking so far?
Oof. I mean, this versus the Smutty Nose is a little tough. Blue Moon's definitely third. I'm going to put these... I'm going to put Smutty Nose one. What's this? Blue Point? Blue Point two. What do you think?
You know, I think I agree. This one has a little bit of a sourness.
I'm going to put them in order here. Bottles.
A little bit sour. Not sure. I'm really like the sourness. I almost like this because the Smutty Nose is more not sour. I don't know what's the word for that. It's not sweet exactly, but it's not sour either.
It is. They are slightly different. Though you can tell they're in the same family of beers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you really do just get a lot of that spice taste. So back to the story. Brom Bones is the rival of Ichabod Crane. Ichabod Crane's our protagonist, and they are both courting the same woman, and she is playing both sides for her own amusement, for her own gain. It's not really clear. It probably doesn't matter. And we've already established that Ichabod Crane is a superstitious feller because he carries around Cotton Mather's dog shit ramblings about the Salem witch trials. And now he goes to a party at Katrina's house.
So he, what's kind of funny is that he's teaching his school. You know, he's in a school teaching the children, and somewhere around an hour before the end of the school day, someone comes in giving him the invitation to this party at the Van Tassels, and he pretty much just lets the kids go. He's like too excited to teach the kids at that point, and he just lets the kids go, and all the kids are yay, no more school. And then he goes home and he gets himself as prepared for a party as possible, considering he owns, you know, all of one set of clothes. All of one side of clothes, and, you know, he tried to shave. So he goes to this party, and the party is a great party. Everyone in the community is there, including
Brom Bones.
Including Brom Bones, but also all Brom Bones' friends. They're there too. And anyway, so the party is great. And then I guess it's around fall. I mean, they never mention the word Halloween even once.
No.
But anyway, at the party, everyone breaks up and starts telling scary stories. So there are some guys at the party who were Revolutionary War veterans, and they're telling very tall tales about what their exploits. Like one guy saying he deflected a cannonball with a sword.
I thought it was a musket pellet or something, but yeah. Like, and you could only see, look at the hilt of my sword, look how it's bent.
It's a little bit bent, you know, in just long enough since the revolution for nobody else who was there to say, no, you're full of shit, that didn't happen.
Shut your fucking mouth, Ezekiel.
And then, you know, so they're all telling scary stories, and everybody's having a great time, and then Ichabod gets the chance to tell his witch stories, you know, which he's memorized from the Cotton Mather book, and everyone loves it, and it's great. And then he goes home? No. He tries to dance with Katrina at some point?
Well, I mean, there's some, like, weird awkwardness. But, I mean, the important part is eventually he leaves. But he has to borrow a horse.
Wait, borrow and... a really old, really grumpy horse.
And the saddle, though.
And the saddle.
From Katrina's wealthy father to get his poor teaching asshole. His ass home. Then interesting things happen. Interesting things, almost as interesting as another beer.
Another beer. We still have a lot.
Pick
more
a number
beers.
Between 1 to 4, Nate.
3.
Yeah, there it is. Okay, we're gonna drink this beer. Holy fucking shit! This is Coney Island Brewing Company, which is their limited fall release. It's called Freaktoberfest Big Ol' Pumpkin Ale. Is this you here?
Yeah.
This is a pumpkin ale, as you might imagine, brewed with espresso beans.
So okay,
that is a totally different thing.
It's not just pumpkin. It smells nice.
This is a very different beast than the other three.
It does taste a little bit like coffee, yeah.
But not too much, you know? A lot of coffee beers are the stout type, so it looks like coffee, tastes like coffee, you're not really shocked.
You know, this must be what a, you know, Starbucks pumpkin spice latte tastes like in beer form. I've never had one myself.
I have retired.
Because I'm not a sorority girl. But.
Well, then you'd be drinking with the unicorn?
Oh, yeah, the unicorn.
Frapp or whatever?
Frappuccino? I don't remember. Yeah, I don't remember. Didn't have one of those either.
No, because you didn't want diabetes. This is nice. It's different. I shouldn't insult this beer. I have no problem insulting Starbucks. This beer is actually really good. But I'm really thinking about when I drink coffee, which I have retired from the coffee drinking game.
What?
I don't drink coffee anymore.
Oh, my God.
I don't drink coffee anymore.
I don't think I could do that.
All my loving for beer. And when I used to drink coffee all the time, I'd drink, and, like, at work, I'd have a break or something, and I'd go take a piss, and it would smell like pure coffee. And I would think, maybe if I just drank some of that, there's more caffeine in there, because I'm so exhausted right now. I understand why, you know, dogs eat, you know, they eat certain things, and they're like, oh, that was delicious. It's still pretty delicious in my turd right there. I don't want to waste any.
It's pretty good the second time also.
Well, you know it was good the first time. But this is actually a really interesting beer. It's an interesting combination.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because it's usually just pumpkin beer, and it tastes like fucking pumpkin pie spice thrown in your face, washed down with a regular beer. This is different. I don't know if it's fair to compare it to the other ones, because I like it better. But I like it better.
But it's not a regular pumpkin beer.
I like it better because it's different. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Though I must say, Coney Island used to make a very different Freaktoberfest beer. So they changed ownership a few years ago. Their original Freaktoberfest was just some sort of whatever ale that they added food coloring, so it was blood red. And I had that at the Coney Island Freak Bar where they used to serve these beers years ago. And I was like, this is a fucking cool beer. It was red beer. It looked like Kool-Aid. It was delicious. And then they changed ownership and they don't make any of that anymore. So we lost that. Which is unfortunate. But we gained this, which is a really cool beer. And probably more importantly, we gained the hard root beer.
Oh, yeah.
Which is responsible for like 18% of my cirrhosis. So I can't really complain. So where's your ranking?
Well, this one is different. I'm still very curious about the other ones we have sitting over there. But my ranking, I would say... I think I still like the Smutty Nose. Maybe that's just loyalty. But maybe I'd put this one second.
You don't want to take this money notes for granted.
And then and then Blue Point third, and then Blue Moon fourth. I think that's where I would do. But, you know, the first two are very, they're different, but they're both very good.
I'm just going to keep it organized so I can keep my samples here for at the end. I could do one more rundown at the end of the evening. So
the end of the podcast.
They leave the party, or Ichabod hangs out at the party. They tell the ghost stories, and Ichabod eventually leaves on the borrowed horse. He takes the borrowed horse, and it's dark and spooky, and he's heard nothing but ghost stories for hours. He wants to get home and masturbate, thinking about Katrina. He's got to do it. He's spooked. He's on the shitty horse, and then stuff goes down.
As he's either coming over a hill or he's trying to cross a stream, suddenly he sees there's another rider on the path. And he can't really see it first because it's totally dark, but he knows there's another rider, and he's already scared. And then he somehow, you know, he's going over a little hill or a little rise, and he can see silhouette with the rider, because they're silhouetted with the sky in the background, he can see that the rider is headless. And so, of course, at this point, Ichabod completely flips out. And so he sees that the rider's headless. He digs his heels into the horse, into the side of the horse. And then, you know, in the book, because it was written in the time when everybody
PETA still... PETA is not pleased.
the book was written when, you know, everyone still rode horses and understood all those terms for, you know, he did this to the horse and that to the horse. And the other thing, I was like, okay, he, you know, did something to the horse, whatever it was. So he tries to get the horse to just jump forward and just go as fast as he can. But instead, the horse goes sideways and then turns the other direction and then goes right into a tree. And then Ichabod is definitely more and more agitated and more worried.
Yeah, so he's trying to escape. It's clear it's the Headless Horseman, the legend of Sleepy Hollow. That's where they are. Mm-hmm. That horseman haunts those roads ever since he lost his kraut head, you know, how many years ago. And Ichabod has heard this, and it's in his head. So he's shitting in his pants. I'm sorry, knickers. And he's trying to get back to
whatever. Corduroy small clothes, actually.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
That's the quote, yeah.
You win. You win this round.
But so, I was just... Because when I read it, I couldn't help but think, wow, how uncomfortable would that be?
Thank God
for cotton.
Thanks, slavery. Because corduroy small clothes. Man, I'm just thinking now of that stupid bear, Corduroy. Remember that children's book?
Yeah, a little bit.
Corduroy is like the bear who lost his button on his overalls because he has corduroy overalls.
This sounds British.
It might be British. I don't know. I mean, I did not go to school in the UK, but I remember reading that children's book in kindergarten, and corduroy. And I said, like, what a fancy sounding fabric. Don't want it on my fucking junk. Holy shit. Though, might not be a bad idea to wipe your ass with, and those ripples are going to really, really clean you out.
You're really going to dig in.
But I don't want that. You're really going to trench your asshole with corduroy. I don't want it on my balls, though. Holy shit, that sounds terrible. Oh my god. I will lose a lot of buttons to avoid that. I can't bear it. Anyway, so that's terrible. So he's shitting in whatever garments he has and running away, and the horseman's following him and... And that leads us to the next beer.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to do it because it's appropriate for this point in the story. Nate, you brought this one.
So I went to the store and found one pumpkin beer. Mike's the one who decided he needed five more. So anyway, this beer. But
six,
this
more.
Is six more.
Six more.
Oh, I apologize.
That was your cup.
This beer is called, this one fits really well. It is from Flying Dog Brewery, and it is a pumpkin beer called The Fear.
It is not just a pumpkin ale. It is an imperial pumpkin ale.
Imperial
and
pumpkin, yeah.
I gotta say, look, this is one of the ones... I've tried a lot of these ones this round. This one I've never tried. It's imperial pumpkin ale. It is, oh god, 9% alcohol. It's gonna hurt us. It is
it's dark.
Legitimately dark. The other ones all have a kind of, you know, I don't know, golden, dark golden color to them. This is brown. It's got a dark tan head.
Well, you can taste cinnamony. The head tastes cinnamony.
That's what I tell the ladies. And it smells nice. I don't taste any. Maybe I'm just fucked up. I don't taste any of that 9% alcohol in here. This is almost twice as strong as some of these other ones.
I can taste the alcohol. What I actually don't taste is the pumpkin.
Yeah, I don't. I get spice flavors.
You know, this is just pie.
Pie filling, right?
Yeah.
I like it. I don't know. What we really should have done is eaten a piece of fucking pumpkin. Because what does a pumpkin taste like? I can't even imagine at this point. If I'm looking at these beers, if I had to imagine what a pumpkin tastes like, it would probably be like if I like described it, it would be like what those candy bananas taste like compared to a real banana.
Right, yeah.
Like, that's not, there's no banana on Earth. My description right now, my understanding of what a pumpkin tastes like is what a blind person thinks blue looks like. It's just fucking not there. There is no pumpkin, there is no one pumpkin flavor. It's just a small ingredient in all these beers, mm-hmm. which is probably a problem with all pumpkin beers in general, right? Pumpkin's not a great flavor.
No.
It's okay. It's got some sugar in it. It's relatively cheap to buy.
Some, you know, pumpkin pie. Good pumpkin pie is always delicious.
Pumpkin,
but it's not a strong, it's not a super strong flavor.
Well, pumpkin pie is delicious because of what they add to it. They add sugar, brown sugar. They add nutmeg, cinnamon, clove, allspice.
Yeah.
All those other things, star anise, whatever. They add that shit to it, and they get an interesting flavor. I'm sorry, brown star anise? What do you call it? So they put all those things in, and they make an interesting tasting pie. Pumpkin itself is just kind of like it's like the plate. It doesn't really taste like much at all. But pumpkin does have an important part, as far as I understand, of beer legends in the American beer story. Apparently, the early settlers, the New England settlers, used pumpkin in their beers.
Or more like, as you were saying before, they landed in Plymouth, Massachusetts because their alcohol ran out.
Yeah.
And they had to land to make more alcohol.
Well, you might think, oh man, some Puritans they were. Keep in mind, in these times, if you wanted to drink liquid, it had, for it to be potable, that was a challenge. That was a risk. You could not trust water that you just found. So you either had to boil it, which takes energy. And
you're not going to be able to do that on a ship in the middle of the ocean.
Exactly. Or you have alcohol. And they were not drinking, you know, imperial stouts that are 10% alcohol. They were drinking small beer, you know, 2 or 3% alcohol beer. Children, nursing mothers.
Watered down with water, too. Yeah.
Right, because the alcohol will kill pathogens in the beer. They will, in the liquid. They will make it something you could drink without dying. You don't want fucking typhoid water. Mm-hmm. So they ran out of... The story I heard, I have no real scholarship to back this up, but the story I read in a bunch of beer books over the years, they ran out on the Mayflower of beer to drink. So they had to land. They were trying to go a little farther one way or the other. They had to land. And then that's... Beer is an important part of American history. It should be. God damn it. One of the American gods. Beer is an important part of America's history.
Totally.
I fucking worship beer. I devote enough time and money to it.
And as Benjamin Franklin said, allegedly, beer is proof that God loves us and wants us to be happy.
Yes. He also said, how much for that hooker over there?
He loved the ladies. Yes, he did.
That's it. See, oh, no. It just looks like syphilis. That guy was full of good quotes.
Definitely.
That's one part of America's history, which this book is tied to America's history. That makes it interesting, right? Or the short story, I should say, is tied to America's history. It references the Revolution. It's part of it. It's part of the regionalism of American history. It's part of the parts of American history we don't really think about anymore, right? Like the small town shit that, you know, sort of we've forgotten. It speaks to our history and the fact that the pumpkin. I mean, maybe this is a loose connection, but it's a connection to our beer drinking today.
Right.
Our beer drinking then.
So here's what happened. So the Headless Horseman, whoever he is chasing Ichabod.
He's a Hessian right now.
The Hessian is chasing Ichabod, and Ichabod is trying to cross a stream. And the Hessian, who does not have a head, but he's carrying a pumpkin, throws it at Ichabod, and Ichabod falls off his horse. And that's sort of where it's left. You know, that's sort of like the end of the narrative until you sort of get like a postscript about what happened in the future. But that's like the last you really see of Ichabod.
Yeah, it's a little epilogue scene there is that he gets whacked in the head. I mean, now from Ichabod's perspective, you know, he is scared out of his mind being chased by the Headless Horseman who throws his surrogate head, right?
Yeah.
Because he's looking for the head. Pumpkin is the fake head, and he throws it right at him. And in the postscript or the epilogue or whatever the fuck, or the afterword, I don't know what the difference between those three things are, but we find out that Ichabod is never seen again.
Mm-hmm.
And people look for him.
They find the saddle and a broken pumpkin.
Next to Ichabod's hat.
Next to Ichabod's hat, but they never find him.
So you wonder what happened, right? Is the Headless Horseman take Ichabod to some sort of nether world? Did he kill him? Is Ichabod... You know, buried in a shallow North New York grave. It's not really clear, but then it goes on.
You know, I wonder about these other beers.
You don't have to worry much longer, my friend.
No, I don't have to wonder.
Which one do you want?
No, we've got two left. You know what? Let's save the Dogger's Head for the last one.
All right. We're going to go with Southern Tier. You know, we had one of their beers fairly recently.
Fairly recently, yeah.
This is Pumpking. It says the Imperial Pumpking. I don't know if it's different than regular Pumpking. It is an 8.6% alcohol Imperial Pumpkin Ale brewed with blah, blah, blah. Two varieties of hops, two types of malts. I almost bought... They have like a dark version of this called Warlock. I think we're going to save... I have a bottle of that for a future beer.
Future podcast.
A day when I don't drink myself to death. This smells holy shit like spices.
This is, yeah, very spicy.
This is like... Is that nutmeg? Whoa.
There's something... This has... I don't know if it's vanilla I'm tasting.
Yeah, there's vanilla in there.
It's like very strong vanilla flavor along with spices.
Yeah, it's really strong. Oh, God. I don't like it. I'm going to say it. I'm going to say it right there. I'm sorry, Southern Tier.
It's...
Not a fan.
Actually, I think it's okay. I think it's all right if I was looking for a really strong, really vanilla-y beer. It's okay. I'm not sure I would have more than one of these, but I don't dislike it.
Well, you know what? There are stronger pumpkin beers in this, though.
I mean, it almost tastes like coconut. But maybe it's just that strong, like, vanilla-y flavor that's tasting a little bit like coconut.
Coconut pumpkin, that's an interesting idea. I've had some strong pumpkin beers. Avery makes some. I had Rumpkin, which is like an 18% alcohol pumpkin beer.
Wow.
That just hit me right in the gonads. This I am not...
Right in the gourds.
Right in the gourds. What's your ranking right now?
You know, I actually still think the Smutty Nose and the one with coffee in it are still on the top for me.
Because so this one is
definitely different. Although the Flying Dog, the Fear, this one tastes the least like pumpkin. The Flying Dog one so far tastes the least actually like pumpkin. It's still very strong, but it just doesn't taste that much like pumpkin to me.
I just don't even know what a pumpkin tastes like. I wonder, does that one taste the most like pumpkin and it has the least spices?
Just because pumpkin has no flavor?
Pumpkin's pretty bland.
Pumpkin has a flavor. I mean,
it's a mild flavor, though. And in a 9% alcohol beer that's brown like that, that's a lot of malt, I wonder how much they really put in. Or how much they have to put to get the flavor.
Yeah, to get a strong pumpkin flavor. Or if they just need Starbucks pumpkin spice syrup, just make a beer out of that.
Shoot your pumpkin jizz in. I gotta say, pumpkin is my least favorite. Let's see. Let me taste back. I've been saving all my samples. I mean, the Blue Moon and the Pumpkin are very different types of beers. They're both beers I don't really love. The Smutty Nose is a fine drinkable beer. The Fear by Flying Dog is a very different beer than the rest of these. It's kind of hard to compare it. The Freaktoberfest is all... I mean, it's hard to say. I mean,
yeah.
Pumpkin beer, is that a style? I don't even know. But they're very...
Well, clearly
different.
It is, considering we have 7 pumpkin beers right now.
Oh,
here.
And there's so many we don't have. There's so many more we could have got. We could have drunk ourselves to death.
We still might. The night is young.
Don't count us out yet.
It's only 4 p.m.
We're on European time. That's why we keep calling it night.
So, okay. Very end of the story. We're getting there. So, in the little postscript, you know, the townspeople, they never find Ichabod, only his hat next to a shattered pumpkin and a saddle. Years later, someone comes from New York City to visit Sleepy Hollow and says, oh, Ichabod Crane. No, he's been living down in New York City. He read for the bar. He's been admitted to the bar. He's a judge in the
10-pound court.
Yeah, whatever that means.
I have no idea.
He's a judge. So according to some random farmer who knows who Ichabod is and who goes to Sleepy Hollow, Ichabod just kind of left. And it also says that the dude there, the jock, whatever his name is.
Rambones.
Right? The meathead. Says that, you know, he has a very knowing smile whenever the topic of Ichabod is brought up.
Well,
who does, a couple months later, or a couple weeks later, does in fact marry Katrina Van Tassel.
This is important, right? He marries, he gets the girl. And nobody really investigates Ichabod Crane's absence because he has no debts.
He has no debt. He doesn't really know anybody super well. He's not related to anyone. He doesn't owe anybody money. So nobody's really all that curious.
He has no possessions of particular value. Which also is an interesting historical thing, right? It tells you about the vast difference between our country then and today, right? Because back then, oh, this guy died or he's missing. He doesn't really own anything. Let's just not mention it again. Fuck him. Oh, he's got one book? Who wants this book? All right, you got a book now.
They burned it.
Right. They don't really give a shit.
They burned it at the end. That was his only thing of any value, and they didn't give it to anyone. They just got rid of it.
Whereas now, people fight over wills with the, you know, pretty minimal substance in them. Mm-hmm.
They also didn't have, like, police forces back then. I mean, who would investigate it? And what would they do? They didn't know what they were doing.
That's true, too.
Though, I guess this is where it makes, you know, a bunch of, like, the movie adaptation, especially the Tim Burton movie adaptation of Sleepy Hollow, sort of turns it into much more of a mystery. Into what actually happened. Was the Headless Horseman real, or was it all a fake? And that's sort of the premise of the whole film.
Right. So there are two adaptations that I've seen. There's the cartoon one from God knows when, the 40s?
1949.
Old as shit. I remember seeing that as a kid. Haven't seen it in 20 years. And then there's the Tim Burton one that came out probably 1997 or 1988. It's pretty old.
That, I think so too.
I watched that. I don't think I saw it in theaters, but I definitely saw it a few times. It was okay, you know? It has the same kind of cinematography as all of Tim Burton's gothic kind of movies. You know, his Edward Scissorhands and his other movies where it's dark. And even in the daylight scenes, everything's dark and gray and blues and dark blacks. Everything looks kind of sad. Mm-hmm. But that really goes into the story of the Headless Horseman as if the Headless Horseman is a ghost. He is a Hessian soldier who has been killed, and he's looking for a head. And in the Tim Burton movie, the Hessian soldier is killing people and taking their heads. Which, over the years, I kind of blended together the cartoon movie, which is very G, and the Tim Burton movie, which is totally R, or PG, a very strong PG-13. And I kind of just thought they were all telling the same story. They're neither, as far as I can tell, are the same story as the short story. Mm-hmm. Because in the short story, it's really quite clear there was no Headless Horseman. Bram Bones just fucked on Ichabod Crane so he can get that sweet gash from Katrina Van, whatever the fuck his name, Tassel.
Katrina Van Tassel.
Which is totally the name of an 18th century stripper.
Right, yeah.
I mean, like, the 21st century stripper is like Cinnamon Love. Katrina Van Tassel sounds to me pretty stripperish. And now on the center stage, doing the naked jig, Katrina Van Tassel. And he gets the bride, he gets the money from her wealthy father. Mm-hmm. Ichabod Crane pushes out to New York City. Where he becomes a judge, loser. And that's where he goes. It clearly, there is no Headless Horseman in the story.
Yeah.
You know what there clearly is, though?
One more pumpkin beer.
Fucking pumpkin beer.
Okay.
Did God help us. There's enough glasses.
Yep, there are two more.
Don't tell my wife. She's going to be so... so this is the one of these seven I've had a couple of them before. This is the one I've had the most often. For years now, every fall I get this. This is Dogfish Head Pumpkin Ale. 7% alcohol beer. The little story here. It's brewed with real pumpkin, brown sugar, allspice, cinnamon, and nutmeg. It sounds like all the rest.
This is not super strong.
I mean, it tastes great. I'm not sure if it's the overload of all the other pumpkin beers. It kind of tastes like a lot of the other ones, you know? I'm glad I've been saving my samples here, because I mean, I get the spice flavor. Same spice flavor I get from the Blue Point, you know? Or the Smutty Nose. There's a lot of those different flavors in there. There's more in each bottle.
Hand me that napkin over there.
Cleaning is for fools.
It's for Ichabods.
It is. Ichabod. So, pumpkin beers. I'm gonna have to think about these beers and sip through them all and get progressively drunker.
While we keep talking?
Yeah, totally.
So here's what's funny. This story does not take place during Halloween. It doesn't mention the word Halloween. So, yet, it is undoubtedly the quintessential Halloween story.
Yeah.
So how did that happen?
I don't know. In our crack research team of you and me reading Wikipedia, we were not able to find a real clear explanation.
No, our 5 minutes of research on Google didn't turn up a good answer to that question.
But, emboldened by the taste of seven pumpkin beers, I'm willing to hazard a guess. I think there's a couple factors. I think there's the element of the macabre, the element of the ghost. That says Halloween. Mm-hmm. Now, ghost story. Not every Halloween story is a ghost story, but how do you say this? But pretty much every fucking ghost story seems to be linked to Halloween somehow. Maybe that's not true. I don't know. But there's a strong connection. Maybe it's more like a Venn diagram between Halloween and ghost stories. So there's a huge overlap there. So there's that. Secondly, there's the fucking Headless Horseman throwing a pumpkin. Now, in the cartoon movie, at the very least, maybe the Tim Burton movie, I don't recall, that pumpkin is more jack-o'-lantern-ish
than it
is pumpkin. It's not a raw pumpkin. Because a raw pumpkin...
It's a carved jack-o'-lantern.
Yeah, a pumpkin is like a fucking weapon. Holy shit.
That's dense.
They are intense awful things filled with nothing but seeds. And you would just get hammered with a pumpkin. If he had hit Ichabod in the head with a raw pumpkin, no wonder that motherfucker's dead. That shit is heavy. Holy shit, those are heavy things. Unless they're one of those little, like, tabletop or a handheld weeby little pumpkins, which are literally what they're called. Yeah. There's, like, weeby little, like, the letter D. It's adorable. These little bitch pumpkins, and you hit them in the head, that's like tossing a large walnut at them.
That's like a snowball.
Yeah, exactly. But they're...
It's still something bullies do, but not deadly.
It's not cool, man. But, I mean, these are... A pumpkin's intense. So, pumpkins, what the fuck else do we associate pumpkins with? I mean, they're fall, because that's when they are pickable. Mm-hmm. That's when you can harvest them. But the jack-o'-lantern, that's the... it looks like it says Samhain, but it's like Sam Shane or something like that, is the ancient Celtic festival of Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
Pumpkin carving faces on pumpkins and turnips and rutabagas and all that kind of bullshit. That's a Halloween thing.
You know, and Halloween is, I'm sure, at least partly a harvest festival. You know, even if you take out the scary stuff, the quote unquote scary stuff about witches and wizards and, you know, slutty nurses and take out all that stuff, then really,
let's not throw the baby out with the bathwater.
Then it's still like a Halloween. It's still a harvest festival, and you know what? That's, you know, the pumpkin. You know, the ripe pumpkin is definitely a symbol of the, you know, the fall harvest. So it probably just got incorporated that way, so it like fits with the time of year.
It does fit, and it is spooky. So I understand why they're connected, though they're connected like thematically. They're connected like mm-hmm. you know, loosely. There's nothing about that says Halloween. There's nothing about Halloween that says Headless Horseman. They just sort of have grown together in this. As over the 200 years since that story came out. I mean, it's an interesting story. Mm-hmm. It's fun. I wasn't scared in the slightest because it's not a scary story. It's not meant to be scary. Or if it was, it's unsuccessful. It's fun and an interesting look into, you know, 200 years ago New York life. And there's a nice little ambiguous ending to it. I mean, mm-hmm. it's a cool story. I liked reading it. I didn't regret it. A lot of times you read these old kind of things, you know, 1800s, 1700s English language books, you know, Jonathan Swift or, I don't know, who else?
Too many pumpkin beers. Who
Tom,
knows?
Yeah, whatever. These old motherfuckers. And you're like, yeah, that's terribly boring. This is not interesting. Maybe because it's a short story, it wasn't terrible.
It's, you know, like, what? It's still, like, I'm almost done. You're only 5 minutes into it. Oh my God, I'm almost done. I might as well keep reading.
Yeah, it's not a big investment. It's fun. And because you already know the story, it makes it interesting to see the original, you know? Mm-hmm. You know the adapted versions. To see what's the germ, what's the seed that started this. It's interesting to read that. I liked it. I actually have on my Kindle now, I have the other parts of the sketchbook of Jeffrey Crayon. I might read them. I liked his writing. That was fine. I thought it was an interesting story. Will everything else be great? Probably not, because the only fucking Washington Irving story people talk about is this, or Rip Van Winkle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the probably other ones aren't great. There's a reason why we don't read the unfamiliar works of dead authors. They've been sifted out of circulation.
Yeah.
But this one was good.
All right, let's do the final tally on the beers.
Oh, that's a quick rundown here. Do you want to try any other ones before we're done? Before we make your decision?
You mean more? We have more pumpkin beer?
No, we have just the seven. Do you want to do any resamples?
I have my samples right here. Ready to go.
See, I've been an asshole. I see a cup of beer in front of me, and I just feel the urge to finish it.
I know. I've been resisting that urge.
So I have to keep pounding them down. Like, oh no, I need more of that for later. I don't want to waste anything. I'm very environmentally conscious.
Right. Yeah. I'm trying though.
It's almost like it's like there are separate categories of beer here.
Yeah, it's almost like, even though they're all pumpkin beer, they're all different pumpkin beers. I don't know. I'm gonna go with.
Is number one for you?
Well, I'm trying to think. Okay. Well, the question is, what beer would I want? Just if I was really just gonna sit around on Halloween at a bar drinking beer, I would totally be happy to drink several of the Smutty Nose. That would be fine. I definitely couldn't manage more than one of the Flying Dog because it's just way too strong for me. Too much alcohol, I mean. After I have one of those, I'd be like, okay, I'm gonna need a nap now. Blue Moon, not so great. Not wild about the Blue Point either. But the rest were good. The Dogfish Head is not super strong. So yes, it would be okay too. I would have more of those.
So yeah, so if you phrase it that way, what beer will I drink? Will I ogle a slutty nurse? Or slutty Native American? Or slutty toaster oven, whatever costume some woman is wearing. It's a tough question. I'm gonna cheat. I'm gonna say there are two different kinds of beers here. there are the beers that I like, and then there are beers, the pumpkin beers that I like. I like the Fear by Flying Dog. I think that this is an interesting beer that I would drink regardless of the time of year. I like it. I also like the Coney Island because the pumpkin, which is not a thrilling flavor, is balanced out with the coffee flavor. Those are in like a separate category. Those are just beers that are cool. I like them. Mm-hmm. Now, of the pumpkin beers, I'm having a hard time separating because I feel like an allegiance to Dogfish because Dogfish is one of the beers I've loved forever. Their brand. Not that they fucking retweet us or anything, but I like their beers. And pumpkin, I look forward to every year. So I really like that. The Smutty Nose is really great. The Blue Moon is just it's okay. Mm-hmm. It's not bad. It's really not terrible. If that was that, or I would take that over many, many other beers.
Regular Blue Moon.
Oh, for sure.
No, the one with coffee. Which one? Which is the one with coffee again?
That's Coney Island.
It's Coney Island. This is. I think the coffee really balances the pumpkin really well. So you know what? I would definitely have more of these also. I'm resampling them. So
like I said, the one I really don't enjoy is the Pumpkin by Southern Tier. It's just too strong of a vanilla, whatever the fuck this is, flavor.
Sweet something, sweet vanilla.
Yeah. I think that's, whatever that flavor is, that nutmeg or whatever, it just overpowers everything else and it makes it taste almost medicinal. I don't like it, which is unfortunate because I like so much Southern Tier stuff, but that one I don't like that much. And that's just that. I guess I gotta go with the Fear if I had to pick one.
All right.
Maybe that's just because I'm a fucking overcompensator and I want to go for the strong, scary big beer. That's what I go for. That's a great take on the pumpkin beer thing, you know? And this is like our fucking 400th Flying Dog beer.
Yeah.
You'd think those motherfuckers could toss us a sixer.
Come on, guys.
What are you waiting for? But yeah. So what does this story have to do with Halloween? I don't, probably nothing really originally, but now it's just interwoven as so much of culture tends to work. You know, mm-hmm. It just ingratiates its way in and that's there. It's a fun story.
Yeah.
I want to rewatch that shitty cartoon movie one day and reread the rest of, or read for the first time, the rest of Washington Irving stories, but it's pretty good.
I sort of feel like watching the Tim Burton Sleepy Hollow again.
Well, that changes the story, though.
It does. But I found myself, like, picturing in my head, you know, those actors are the characters in the story when I was reading, just what I remember.
I actually pictured the cartoon characters. Or at least the cartoon Ichabod Crane. Everyone else I just pictured, like, real people. But there's a tall, gangly cartoon guy. All right, so happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween.
You could tweet us in the meantime at DrunkGuysBC.
Or send us an email with your thoughts and feedback or recommendations for other books to drunkguysbookclub@gmail.com.
Join us next time when we read
American Gods. Thanks for listening.
Take care.